Hi, this is Jay Webb of International Gospel Hour. We're so glad you've decided to listen to our program today. Our intent is to inform you and to encourage you. This is Are You Listening with Jody Apple of International Gospel Hour. In a busy world with lots of distractions, we need to pay closer attention to God. Are you listening to God's Word today? Here's Jody.
I am bound for the promised land.
Thank you, Jay. Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to Are You Listening? We continue our studies of the New Testament Word Scripture. What prompted this series? It was sparked by what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, a passage where Paul stated that Timothy's knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, here referring to the Old or First Testament, made Timothy wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Listen to the full account of Paul's words to Timothy in that text. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Again, 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. We cannot separate Timothy's First Testament knowledge of the Holy Scriptures from Timothy's faith and from Timothy's redemption that he had through the Christ. But that's not all. We cannot separate our redemption through Christ, through our faith, our repentance, and our baptism into Christ's death from the teaching of those same Old Testament scriptures. Though the specifics of the Mosaic Law do not apply to us today, we do not have to make any trips to Jerusalem. We do not have to sacrifice anything at the temple. We do not have to engage in any purificatory rites for disease and so forth. Though those specific requirements do not apply to us today, the principles upon which the Law of Moses was founded, principles that go back to God's covenant promise with Abraham, those principles still apply to us today. Join us as we study and as we are blessed by God's Word. A brief reminder, we air 6 programs in series each week. To hear or to download programs, simply go to the Media tab at internationalgospelhour.com. For questions or comments about today's lesson, or about any other biblical topic, or to follow us online, we encourage you to call us at 1-855-IGH-6988. We also encourage you to message us using either the contact form at that same website, internationalgospelhour.com, or at facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. You can also write to us at International Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 118, Fayetteville, Tennessee, 37334. And finally, we encourage you to follow us at both facebook.com/International Gospel Hour and at twitter.com/Jody Apple. Let's get into God's Word today. As we near the end of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter focused on a much larger body of evidence than what he had earlier presented. That much larger body of evidence was God's prophetic and confirmed or certain word, chapter 1, verse 19. Peter's emphasis of the same principles that he noted earlier come across in this setting in a much weightier and in a more intense way in his second letter, and for good reason. The generally positive and generally encouraging tone that we witnessed in 2 Peter chapter 1 was in preparation for Peter's very negative and very discouraging tone that we find in the second chapter. In the first chapter, Peter showed how Christians could be close to or in fellowship with God by following God's Word, described in this context as Scripture. In the second chapter, Peter introduced the false prophets and the false teachers and showed just how far removed from God that they were. They got to that point by changing, by moving away from, and by ultimately abandoning Scripture. Let's read the closing verses of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, as we continue our study. That text reads, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." As we have already observed, 2 Peter starts by emphasizing the centrality of knowing God's Word. Grace and peace are multiplied to us through a knowledge of God and of Christ. Chapter 1, verse 2. Everything that we need that relates to life and godliness comes through that knowledge. Chapter 1, verse 3. That life and godliness comes through that knowledge in a very specific way. It comes through, by means of, the promises revealed in God's Word. That means that we must know the promises, that we must believe the promises, and that we must live our lives in concert, that is, in harmony with those promises. When we know, when we believe, and when we live consistent with those divine promises, we are said to become partakers of God's nature, meaning that we enter into fellowship with God. Chapter 1, verse 4. In order to grow in faith, then, and thus grow in our relationship, our fellowship with God, we must also grow in knowledge and in holiness. These two elements, inseparable twins, if you will, define our faith in terms of doctrine and demonstration, the doing part of faith. This means that we must live consistent with our faith and knowledge. Our faith grows as we add the graces of virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Chapter 1, verse 5 and following. As Peter continues writing, we learn that his point was not just to state that faith and knowledge bring us into fellowship with God, but that faith and knowledge must find support and reason in the evidence revealed in God's inspired Word and in the evidence observed in God's created world. In this context, the evidence in God's inspired Word applies generally to the prophetic Word or Scriptures, the First Testament. Here, and in many other New Testament texts, that means exclusively the First Testament Scriptures. The evidence observable in God's world applies in this setting to Peter's firsthand or eyewitness testimony. Peter repeatedly encouraged his readers to remain true to both lines of evidence. Faith was always rooted in the facts observed in the really existing world, and faith was also always rooted in the promises of Scripture, God's Word. As the first chapter closes, Peter not only stated that the prophetic word or Scriptures was confirmed, he stated this, "Which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Chapter 1, verse 19. Just what does this mean? Because of the certitude of Peter's own testimony and the certitude of revealed Scripture, Peter encouraged his readers to heed, that means to pay attention to, what those Scriptures said. The significance of this would be forcefully conveyed in the immediate verses to follow. The language that Peter used here expressed continual, expressed ongoing involvement or action on the part of his readers. That's the significance of the words translated as do, heed, and until, not just in their meaning, but also in their duration. To convey the significance of the Scriptures as divinely inspired, and thus the need to submit to God's sovereignty through obedience to those Scriptures, God's spokesman used vivid illustrations or word pictures to capture the attention and thus motivate to action their hearers and their readers. In this setting, God's word was compared to a light that shines in a dark place. A very well-known First Testament text, Psalms 119, verse 105, says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Other, perhaps lesser-known, Old Testament passages use the same idea. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Proverbs 6, verse 23. John the Apostle, in the opening chapter of his Gospel, identified Jesus as the life and the light of man. His light shone in the darkness, that is, the world, but the world did not grasp it at first, John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. John also used light to convey the importance of living according to God's revealed word. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." That's 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of God's Word.
The InternationalGospelHour.com website contains links to the current programs on our main page, but we're building an online archive of all of our broadcasts. Check it out at the Media tab at the site.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope, first, that it glorified God. But second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series, by going to the Media tab at our site, InternationalGospelHour.com.